bless you all. I'm so happy to be in front of you all today. It's been about 2 years already, as rightly said. But it's not 2 years. I think it was just yesterday because I still met you all on Friday. So thank God for technology. We're able to fellowship. We're able to see ourselves. I miraculously arrived this morning. Miraculously because there was a delay in flight. But I just closed my eyes. And when I opened my eyes, here comes Singapore. So, and, you know, as always, I'm here on, as it seems, I'm here on a business trip. Where else should I be this morning? Right? Where else should I be? Now tell me, where else should I be? In the midst of the people of God, correct? Our gathering is spiritual, right? Or is it physical? Please, it's spiritual. It's not physical. Our gathering is spiritual. We are here physically, yes. But our gathering is first spiritual. And that is what kind of it bothers the enemy, it bothers Satan a lot, that we can meet spiritually. And when I say spiritual, it is not about the fact that we're seeing ourselves physically. It's not about the fact that I can see your faces, and it's all brilliant, it's all beautiful, it's all wonderful. It's not just about that fact. It's about the fact that when I look at you all, the enemy trembles. The devil trembles. Right? Am I saying something? Amen. 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 So, for those who do not know, I am Brother Adebayo, and I reside in Japan, and God would have it, we have a little flock over there, and also two churches, actually. So I fellowship in those two churches in Japan, and I'm happy to meet you all. I've been with you for a while. I would say I'm also a byproduct of the ministry of Brother Gan. We've learned, we've gained, we've grown in his ministry. And as you all can say, you are children of the ministry. I actually can boastfully say that I'm also a child of the ministry. And that says a lot. We have a lot of ministers today who can say that, boastfully say that I'm a child of that ministry. And so we thank the name of the Lord for this opportunity. I'm grateful to the leadership of the church, to Brother Prassi, to Brother Paul, to Brother Henry, to I think Brazil is not around, right? Oh, I see. To Brazil. And to every one of you, really grateful to you all. And I'm happy to be here. And I was asking this morning, because I actually didn't want to come on Sunday. I felt okay, because here is where we should tell the truth. Here is where we should tell the truth, right? So I was saying, okay, if I would come to Singapore, I don't want to come on a Sunday. Because I just want to come around and visit Bro Henry, visit Bro Paul, and visit Bro Prassi and say, oh, hi, we'll see you again, have a wonderful time. And my lovely sister here who had visited us as well in Japan, I'll just say hi and that's it. Right. But I was about to click in the button and I heard the vivid instruction. Go on Saturday. You have to join the Sunday service. Okay, fine. What shall I do? What shall I say? And here I am. And we thank the name of the Lord because the Lord does not leave his people. And I want you to be with me. I want you to follow me. Right. The Lord does not leave his people. And I intentionally said that our meeting is spiritual because oftentimes we forget that. We oftentimes think that we come here as physical beings and we gather together and maybe we come to mark an attendance or who has not been in church in the past 2 weeks, right? And that's it. Okay. Okay. Next week. Bye. And that's it. Right. But we often miss out the part where our fellowship, and I think that's the book of 1 John chapter 5. Can we go there real quick? First John chapter 1, rather.
Verse 1 to 5.
What does it say? I want someone in the church to read it.
That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and have witnessed, and show unto you the eternal life, which was with the Father, and which was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which ye have heard of him, and declared unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all.
Let's read 6 and 7 as well. 6 and 7.
If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light and he is in the light, we have fellowship with one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin.
Amen.
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 Amen. Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. So that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, which our hands have handled, of the word of life. And how many of us can truly say these things within our heart, right from the depth of our heart? Because many of us simply have heard, but we have not handled. Right? Many of us have heard. Like, you're listening today. You're listening to what I am saying, correct? God bless you, Brother Gan, right? Brother Michael, God bless you. God bless you. Brother Lawrence, God bless you. I'm trying to remember names. So that we can all, Sister Lucy, God bless you. So that we can all get settled. Many of us have heard, and we are hearing right now, but how many of us have handled? Do you know what it means to handle? You can't experience what you have not handled. Correct? You cannot experience what you have not handled. You could only hear. Right? I'm telling you about the word of truth today. You're hearing. Rorolo, God bless you. He's hearing. Right? He may not be seeing me, but he's hearing what I am saying. So, imagine you all close your eyes. Right? And how then would you tell me that you have handled the word of truth? Because handling that word of truth means that you are experiencing it. Right? And as the writer of this book would say here, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes. Oh. If we want to look at it very literally, it means Barolo is disqualified, right? It means he's disqualified, correct? So you say, okay, maybe we are the only one who have seen with our eyes. But that's not about the physical eyes. Which we have seen with our eyes. Which we have, is there a tautology in the scriptures? Is there a repetition in the scriptures? No. When the Bible said, verily, verily, I say unto you, the first verily is different from the second verily. Right? Which we have what? Looked upon. So what's the difference between seeing with your eyes and looking upon something? So you have seen it and you have ventured into it. So you've seen it, and you have experienced it, and your hands have handled it. And what is that? The word of life. And it says, For the life was manifested, and we have seen that life, and we bear witness of him, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with who? Is with who? If you're following the scriptures, our fellowship is with who? With the Father. And with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Why would your joy be full? Because you've heard this thing. Why is it necessary that your joy is being full? So that when you come to church, you're always eager. That's what I was talking about earlier, right? You're always eager to have fellowship. Because it's not just coming here to mark an attendance. It's because there's something deeper about that fellowship. As Paul would leave his place and would go to Ephesus, he wouldn't tell them. He wouldn't say, Paul never said, I'm coming. He never told anyone, I'm coming. He went to Colossae. He didn't say, oh, go ahead and tell the Colossians I'm coming. Right? So don't be surprised I'm here this morning. Because anyone can come around. It's the church of God. Right? Right? It is the church of God. And the fellowship is with who? With the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And if it is with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ, and you are in him, then it means our fellowship is with one another. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. And I was asking myself, I have what I wanted to talk about this morning, but as I entered into the church, you know, as God would have it, I'm always inspired by songs. And as our brother sang the song, Who am I or who I am? Who I am. I wanted to test you, remember? Because Brother Gan already said, it's not who am I. Right? You're not asking who am I. You're saying who I am. Correct? And the question is, who I am, and that's what we want to talk about in the next 2 weeks. We'll probably look into who I am. And the first part of who I am that I want to talk about today is a topic, strike in me a flame. To talk about you, who exactly are you? Who exactly are you? Because we all found our way to church. God bless you, sister. God bless you. And don't worry, I'll be looking at names and I'll be saying it in the middle of the preaching so we can all get settled. Who I am. And we want to touch on who you are. First, you are a lamp. You are a what? A lamp. That's why the first subtopic would be striking me a flame. Because it's only a lamp that requires fire. Correct? Correct? Any other thing you put fire on is destroyed. Right? The only place that can accept fire is a lamp. Right? An altar is a lamp. An altar is what? It's a lamp. So the only place that can accept fire is a lamp. So we want to talk about that this morning. I pray the Lord bless us in the name of Jesus. But I have to remind, I remember when that title came to me at first, I think it was Brother Paul that was singing that song, and I was inspired by that song, so I want us to sing it again. Striking me a flame, this is my desire. And I want us to pick the words one after the other and think deeply about it. It might be 30 minutes, 1 hour that we'll talk to one another. I hope that we can pick one or two things from it, and we can then know exactly who we are. Amen. Amen. Are you happy to be here this morning?
Amen.
Amen. Okay. Duty this morning. As soldiers of the cross, we ask, O Father, that you speak to us, and that our hearts will burn within us, and that you will set people free. Strike in us a flame, O Lord, this morning, and let your name alone be exalted. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus Christ's name we have prayed.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. God bless you all. I would appreciate, I'll be so glad if you could all just follow me in very short time that we have. And just pick what you can pick. There's a simple message I want to pass across this morning. And it is how the Lord would strike a flame in us and how we should react after that. But first, I want to establish a simple fact. And the fact is, each and every one of us, we are a lamp. It's simple. We are what? a lamp. And can you show what a lamp is? Can you help show the image? And as with every lamp, it is not this. This one. This is electricity. And it's fancy. But we are not fancy. We are not fancy. What we deal with is we deal with naked fire. Are you following me? We deal with what? Naked fire. You could say electricity is really harsh. Fair enough. But it is not as powerful as a power line, maybe. But there's something that is much more intense, that can burn you all to your bones and make everything harsh. That is fire. So when the Lord says that He will set up hell and will make a fire in there that burns with sulfur, you know, we could have said, oh, maybe the Lord said He will set up hell and He will put electrical appliances there that has very high tension wires. But He didn't resolve into that. He chose fire for a reason, correct? That's because each and every one of us is expected to carry a fire. Are you following me? Each and every one of us is expected to do what? To carry a fire. It could be the fire from above, and it could be a strange fire. Right? It could be what? A fire from above. It could be a strange fire. It's a simple message. And every fire that you have is for a purpose. What is the purpose of a fire? It is first to spread light. Right? To spread light. And in that process, it burns. Correct? In that process, it what? It burns. And it requires something to be able to burn. That is oil. Correct? Correct? Not paraffin. Not petrol, as we have it today. Very sophisticated. Not gas. There is a particular oil that the Lord had been stuck with, and that is called olive oil. Correct? It's of very importance. Remember, this same olive oil is the same oil that anoints kings. Right? You don't anoint kings with paraffin. You don't anoint kings with petrol. Except, of course, you have the intention to burn them. But if you want to anoint a king, you look for an olive oil. It is the oil that anoints kings. You have avocado oil, right? Right? You have avocado oil, you have canola oil, but I think that one is manufactured in the... We should ask for infant how he manufactures all those kind of things scientifically. Right? But there is one oil that is very unique in its sense. It's made for kings. That's olive oil. But there is a type of olive that can only be used in the temple. It has to be beaten. We'll go there. We'll go to the scriptures. It has to be what? To be beaten. And why is it beaten? So it can be thin. It's not a dry olive oil. It's not one that draws. You know, there are kind of oils that sleeps. I don't know if you've seen this kind of oil before. If you have experience with fake oil, any oil that you put in a place and easily just slips. When you say oil slips, it means it solidifies easily. That's not good oil. Good oil will not experience that as easy as possible. It has to still be flowing, even in cold weather. Correct? Sister Lucy will know. It has to still flow within cold weather. Right? And the reason why it has to be that way is because that oil needs to burn in and out of season. I'm going somewhere. Are you following me, brother? In and out of season. It means when it's cold, the oil still flows. When it is hot, the oil still flows, right? So that the oil can burn. Correct? So let's say, for instance, the Lord said, oh, Abibiah, stand up. Go and anoint Brother Henry. And I take my holy boy. It's solidified. And then I have to start shaking. God will say, I'm wasting time. Imagine when God told Samuel to go and anoint David, right? You know, he did that quickly. He had to run. He did that in secret. Imagine he had to wait for several hours for the oil to dissolve. Paul would have met him and destroyed him. Right? So the oil must be ever ready. But first off, we are a lamb. And as with every lamb, there is a place where the oil is stored. Right? Am I correct? You don't carry a lamb. There are a few items that are required in a lamb. One is a wick. You know what a wick is? That thread, right? That burns, right? Then you have the base where you store the oil, correct? And usually you would have something to protect the flame. Maybe a glass in this scenario, right? Correct? Okay. But as we found ourselves when we were given birth to, every one of us came as a lamp into this world. And the only reason why you need a lamp is because of what? Darkness. Correct? Am I saying something? It's because of what? If there is no night, there is no use for a lamp. I mean, if I go to Barolo's house and I see that there is a lantern on the table, well lit in the afternoon, I would ask Sister Rolo and say, I hope all is well. Right? What are you doing with a lamp on in the middle of the day? So, the reason why we need a lamp is because of darkness. Correct? Let's go to the book of John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word. Very popular verse. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. Correct? In Him was what? Life. And the life was what? Okay. There is no light without a lamp. Correct? Correct? Please follow me. In Him was life. And the life was the light of men. So it means men needed light. So if you need light, it means men are lamps. Correct? Am I right? So men are lamps. And in the Word was life. And that life is the one that is the light that giveth light to that lamp. Correct? So, it means if you are in the world and you don't have light, it means you don't have life in you. Correct? Does that make sense? Does that make logical sense? Right? Okay. It means you don't have life in you. Am I speaking something? Please follow me. In Him, in that Word, was life. And the life was the light of men. And that light shineth in the afternoon. Please speak. Darkness. Okay. It shineth in what? In darkness. And darkness comprehended it not. That word comprehended is very... There's a different word for that. Darkness could not arrest it. Do you have any other translation? Could not overcome. I think another word is apprehend. Right? So, it means there was a war between darkness and light. Right? Darkness tried all its best. It tried everything possible. It struggled. Where? Genesis 1. Let's go there. We are going somewhere. Oh, in the beginning again. In the beginning, God created heavens and the earth. Okay. I think in John 1, it says that nothing was made without the Word, right? So we can say, in the beginning, by the Word, heaven and earth was created. Correct? Am I saying something? Right? If we go look at John 1:1, it says nothing, absolutely nothing was made without Him. If you think I'm saying the scripture, just resound amen. Amen is the name of the Lord. In verse 3, he said, all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Right? So it means that in chapter Genesis 1, we can then say, in the beginning, by the Word, the heavens and the earth was created. Correct. Okay. And the earth was without form. Interesting. And void. Void means, no, it could be without form and not void, correct? But void means empty of life. Blank. Nothingness. No iota of life. And where there is no life, there is darkness. We're going somewhere. And when I'm on that side of the aisle right now, what I'm trying to think about is, how do I fit into this picture? That's what you should be thinking about. Because I don't believe in coincidence. I don't believe in coincidence. Like I said, my coming here is not something I planned. Maybe it is here right now. There is a message for the people of God. And I want you, please, I want you to take it. Flex in yourself. Because if there be anything that I can assuredly say would happen this year and in the years to come, is that the Lord would move among His people like never before. Like never before.
Thank you, Lord.
So, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Now, let me play with words a little bit there. The scripture says the deep calls unto what? The deep, right? The deep calls unto the deep. What is the deep? The deep in Sister Zoe and the deep in the Lord. When the Lord calls, Sister Zoe responds, right? So the deep with her is the mind, the depth of our mind. Where she had received Christ is not upon the face. If it's just upon the face, it means there's no anchor. The anchor goes into the deep and strikes a rock in there, right? Am I correct? So, but in this case, the heart of man was totally arrested. Darkness was playing over that face of the deep. There was no sense of life. They're walking fancifully. They're enjoying themselves. They're going to work and coming back. They're going about their business. But God, as precious and as wonderful as He is, doesn't care about your faces. He really doesn't. You know, in the presence of God, Sister Lucy is a young woman. A very young woman. Right? The only thing is that the Lord kept her in a house. And that house is getting towards the end of his lifetime. In Japan, I think the lifetime of a house is 30 years. So if you build a house in Japan, about the space of 30 years, you have to collapse it and rebuild. So when you have a house that is over 30 years in Japan, the price of the house is already gone. The cost of the house is already gone. So as far as God is concerned, she is a beautiful young woman in a old house. So, darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of the Lord really couldn't go into the deep. Couldn't contact the deep. Couldn't contact the heart of man. Yet. So where was it located? On the face of the waters. Just hovering. Hovering and fluttering. Where can I land? Right? We all remember when we were still in the world. It wasn't like God has forgotten about you. It wasn't like He had been calling from when you were born. Since when you were born, the Lord has been calling. But He hasn't had the chance to get into the deep. Because the deep has to call unto the deep. Correct? There needs to be a light that pierced through the deep and can open up the deep. You know, light is different from light. There are some lights that are very penetrating. No matter how deep the ocean bottom is, when you shine the light, it goes all the way down. Correct? But there has to be a will for man. There has to be a will. You have to be willing to open up the deep. So darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of the Lord was fluttering upon the face of the waters. So where can I land? There is no place for me here. It's all full of vomit. All the tables, I can't see anywhere to land in here. And God said, okay, let there be light. So let there be light there means, what does it mean according to John? Let there be life. Am I saying something? Because John says that in him was life. And that life was the light of men. Where it's void, where it's without form, there is no life. The life of God, by the word of God, brought back about light. Let there be light. And when he says that, maybe many of you might imagine, oh, it's the sunlight. It's not the sunlight. The sunlight wasn't created until many days after, right? Right? The sun, the moon, the stars was many days after. So, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God divided the light from darkness. There was struggle. Right? And God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, were the first day. Before then, darkness reigned over all time. But this was the time that darkness could not apprehend it. Amen. Amen. And darkness comprehended it not. Back to John. Now, if we now established that there is darkness all over the world, right? And the Lord has made you and I a lamp. And not just you and I, even those who are in the world, they are also what? Lamps. Every one of us are lamps. What has just happened so far is that we have allowed a special type of oil to flow through us. The holy oil. Especially the beaten one. Correct? How do I know this? Okay, let's go to Exodus chapter 27, verse 20. And thou shalt command the children of Israel. Are you all there? And thou shalt command the children of Israel that they bring thee pure olive oil, beaten for what? For the light. To cause the lamp to burn. There is a reason why the olive oil must be beaten. So that the lamp should burn what? Always. So in those days, the people of Israel will bring their oil by themselves. Beaten, flattened out. The oil must be flowing. That's why you're ever flowing stream of oil. Are you getting what I'm saying? Look at it spiritually. Ever flowing stream of oil. Never slipping. Ever consistent. No ending. Very fluidy. Very wonderful. No restriction. That is to say, the Lord wants to contact the heart of Brother Rowley. The Lord is not struggling. Right? He's not struggling. He has no hindrance. So the people had to beat. What does beat mean? Then it has to be their own righteousness by the law. They were beaten by the law. They were all beaten by the law. The Lord made sure that nobody in Israel, no one of them, not a single one of them, remain without beating. Thou shall not. Thou shall not. And thou shall not. And thou shall still not. But now, there is one that has been beaten for our sake. He was thoroughly beaten for our sake. And that is our oil. Our oil of gladness. That's our Lord Jesus Christ. So, then, they have to be the one to provide their oil by being beaten, by their sacrifices, by bringing goat, sheep, pigeon, and so on. They went through all of those ordeals. Now we're not asking for that. The Lord Jesus Christ had provided the oil, ever-flowing oil. And the good thing about his oil is that he never slept. It's never cold. It's not frozen. It's ever flowing. But the only problem here is, where is that lamp again? It depends on whether you want him to flow into that container or not. It depends. Who I am? You are a lamp that is yet to receive a flame. It's empty. The base is empty. Yes, the glass is cleaned. Maybe some are not cleaned. Require some cleaning. Correct? Maybe. But the lantern is very neat. It's pretty decent. Some lanterns are not neat. Some maybe had experienced some rough times while in the world. Right? But it could be neat. There is no end to it. It could be cleaned. Because it also has hyssop. You heard about hyssop, right? It cleans very well. So, the Lord Jesus was beaten, was stricken for our sake, and is being given to us as oil. Amen and amen. Let's go to John. That's in John that we've been reading. Chapter 1. I'll start from verse 6. It says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. So John was a witness of a light. And I hope you'll be comfortable with the experiment I want to make. Bro Yinfan, please, if you can come. And Brother Prasi, please. So, please, Brother. To the back. So, all men through him, right? Correct? He came to bear witness of who? Of the light. And there was a man from God whose name was, today your name is John. Whose name was John, right? And your job is to be a witness of the light. The light, correct? Not any light. There is an article there. So it means this light is significant, correct? That all men, through him, might believe. Okay. He was not that light. He was not that. Again, that. Right? So it means there is a light that is different that this man is talking about. So he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Correct? And how do you bear witness? Brother, how would you bear witness of the light? How would you bear witness? By showing. Am I correct? Oh, I am selling cameras. Sister Zoe, I'm selling cameras. Would you want to buy one? I don't have it here. I don't have it here. I don't have it here. But I'm selling cameras. I also have blenders, like to blend fruit. And I sell cars as well. If you don't ask me for prototype, then you are at fault. Right? I must be able to show you evidences that I sell those things. Correct? And if you are telling me about that light, then I must see that light through you. Because I'm meant to believe true, not by you, but true. Does that make sense? Like, true. It means I have to look at you and see that light. Does that make sense? That is how to be a witness, correct? Who else is a witness? Did he not say that he has made us witnesses? Did Jesus not say that? Are we not meant to be witnesses? Starting from where? Jerusalem? To Samaria? To Judea, to Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth? Right? And how then is it that we bear witness without allowing that light to shine through us? Are we scammers? Scammers of the truth. Because it means we're not different from the denominations. I mean, I don't want to come here and tell you things that makes you happy. I think the word of the Lord is for first, for correction, for reproof. Am I right? that was the true light. That was the true light, which light every man that cometh into the world. He was in, was past tense. Past tense. So there was a time that he was in the world, and the world was made by him. He didn't say by heat, right? He said by him. So it means it's quantifiable. Correct? It was made by him, and the world knew him not. Are you following me? Are you following me, please? He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them he gave power to become sons of God, even to them that believed on his name, which were born not of the blood, nor of will of man, of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of only the begotten of the Father, full of grace. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this is he of whom I speak, that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me, and of his fullness have all we received the grace, and grace for grace. No man hath seen God at any time, the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. And this is the record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who art thou? So John is expected to show the light. And quickly we'll run to John 5:35. To see how he showed the light. And I'll release you. We'll read from 32. There is another that bear witness of me. That is Jesus here talking. There is another that bear witness of me. And I know that the witness which he witness of me is true. Right? Why? Because John is a willing vessel. Right? He allowed the light to shine through him. Correct? He is a lamp as every man. He was lifted by the light himself. Correct? He allowed the light to shine. And let's see how it got shown here. You sent unto John, and he bear witness unto the truth, but I testify not, but I receive not testimony from man, but these things I say that ye might be saved. John. Rainfan, John. Here. Was a burning and a shining light, and ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light.
Amen.
Thank you. But all the while we have not seen him. You know, we didn't talk about Bro Prasi. Right? We've been talking about John. And ye were for a season. Willing to rejoice in his light. That is how bright and shining the light of John was. So the light of John was like a moonlight. Imagine you experiencing a moonlight. So, wow, this place is so bright. It's so wonderful. Wait till you see the sun. Wait till you see what? The sun. Now, we've been able to establish that you are a lamp, correct? Or should I still give examples? Okay. Revelation, the seven lampstands, right? The seven candlesticks, right? The one as well in the temple of the Old Testament, correct? That must never die. So it means it has to be burning continually. Correct? And the seven stars, is also a source of light. Right? In the right hand of Jesus. Correct? And we believe today, if you can believe that each of those lamp or candlestick represent one person in each age, Paul, right? And so on and so forth, until we got to Wesley, Luther, and Brother Branham. So if you can believe that they are lamps, what makes you think you are not a lamp? Right? Oh, Psalms. What psalm is that? Psalm 119, 105. Thy word is a what? Is a what? Lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. What is the word of the Lord? Something arbitrary? No. He's a person. The word is a person. Not a person as you and I, but yes, he came as a person in the person of Jesus Christ. Right? So he is a lamp unto our feet and a light to our path. Now here's where I'm going. If we are lamps, what then is inside the container? What have you allowed to be stored inside this container here? What have you allowed to be stored there? Because there are a few reasons, there are a few results that we would see. One of the results is that, how many of you have seen this kind of lamp before? Okay, great. A lot of people. Even though it's very few people. So there is one thing about this lamp. You can't deceive the lamp by putting the wrong oil. If you put the wrong oil, you would realize that there is soot. What we call soot, right? All the glass will be black. To start bringing up black smoke, right? Anger is a black smoke. Maliciousness is a black smoke. Covetousness is a black smoke. All those fruits that are not fruit of the Spirit, they're all black smokes. And it's not the fault, the lamp is not the problem. This body of clay, you and I, we are not like the problem. It is what we have allowed to flow through us. Am I saying something? Who I am? I am a lamp. But what is flowing through me? What am I receiving? What am I experiencing? What am I facing? What is it that I've allowed to bypass in me? What is my priorities? What are my priorities, rather? That would either make me shine like John. He said he's a burning and a shining light. So it means John was really good. John was good. You know, there was a time that John had to challenge Jesus. Are you the man, or should we wait for another? But that didn't stop his lamp from burning and shining. That's why I say sometimes, little mistakes sometimes, maybe, fine, good. You will stumble, you will stand, you will work, you will stumble, you will stand, you will learn, you will work. That is not the big deal. The big deal is the suit. Because eventually the suit will cover the entire glass, and the light you think you have, you would have no more. You're burning so hard, but it's producing no light. Like I said earlier, the Bible does not repeat itself. So if you are a Bible scholar, and you see that statement that was made here that says that He was a burning and shining light. Would you not ask, what's the difference between burning and shining? Right? I mean, if it's burning, it's supposed to be shining, right? But no. You could be burning and not shining. You could really be fervent. That's the deal. You could be fervent for Jesus. You could be everywhere doing activities for God. Right? Who am I? Or who I am, rather. I am a lamb. I am fervent doing all sorts of activities for Jesus. I am doing everything possible to everything. I am burning so hard, but I'm not shining. Why? The glass is full of soot. Let your light so shine before men. Right? It's not about let your light burn. No. Yeah, you can burn. But your light has to shine. Amen. 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 Every creature is a lamb. So I can give you scriptures. You can read Ezekiel 1, 11 to 15. Zechariah 4, 2. Revelation 4, 5. Ezekiel 1, 11 to 15, in case you want to write it down. Ezekiel 1, 11 to 15. Zechariah 4, 2. Revelation 4, 5. So when I'm looking at this time, I'm seeing Japan. I hope I'm not out of time. I'm seeing Japan here, but I know Japan is not to 12 right now. Okay. So I have until when? God will help us. I'll be done soon. So, are we without doubt, we've established that you're a lamb, correct? Am I correct? We confirm that, right? Okay, great. And we've established that you are supposed to shine, correct? Are we good on that? And we've established that you need oil to shine, to burn, rather, right? It's not the oil that will help you to shine. You need oil to burn, right? The shining is left for how you manage your lamp. Either you decide to wash your glass properly. If you take care of your lamp, you will definitely shine. There are instances where it doesn't stop you from being a child of God, honestly. You could be there, you're burning, you're not shining, but it simply just means that there will not be reward for you. It's simple. You're supposed to shine, correct? But you might decide to burn and not shine and just be by yourself and be closed. Yes, God is in you. The olive is flowing through you. The Holy Spirit is in you. But eventually, when everyone gets the reward, you probably then remember and say, I could have done better. I could have done better. We always say there's no regret in heaven. But I will tell you for a fact, there is a sense of regret. Especially if you look at the words of Paul. He says some works will be burnt and will be tested through fire. Right? Some works will be burnt, their soul will be saved, but there will be no work retained. So tell me if you will not regret that. You will not have that sense of bitterness, but there would be a regret that I could have done better. So, Matthew 25, verse 1. Before then, let's go to Genesis 24. You remember the story of Genesis 24? Abraham was old and stricken in age. Do you remember the story of Genesis 24? Abraham was old and stricken in age, and he was looking for a wife for his son, right? Can someone read Genesis 25, verse 1? That's why we have to always be a Bible scholar. Genesis 25 verse 1. Can someone read that real quick?
Genesis 25 verse 1. Then again, Abraham took a wife, and her name was Keturah.
I thought Abraham was old and stricken in age. I thought he was old and stricken in age, then he took a wife. Is that what old people do? Yeah, we have to be a Bible scholar. You know, it's the same way when it said that Isaac was old and stricken in age, and he wanted to bless Esau, right? And he said they should prepare him a venison, right? But you know, Isaac still lived about 60 years after that. About 60 years after that. So usually it's not the way that we read the Bible. That's not the way it's... We should read the Bible in precedence. We should understand what is being said in those times. Yeah. But yeah, Abraham here was old and stricken in age. Truly, he could no longer do the things he wanted to do. But that doesn't mean he was like useless. He could move around. He could do a lot of things in his household. And he's strong enough to take a new wife because he needed to raise a family. Right? Remember, he only had Isaac at that point in time and also Ishmael. Right? And he told his elder servants, go get me a wife for my son. You know, it's very strange. I'm pretty sure nobody will want that today. Maybe when bro Joshua decides that and say, okay, and bro Ruler says, yes, I will get you a wife. Producer will say, no, I believe in the Bible, but this one I'm not accepting. Right. So, then he made Eliezer vow that he will do what the bidding says. Then in verse 10, that's 24 verse 10, he said, and the servant took 10 camels. I'm going somewhere. How many camels?
Okay.
10. He is going to look for a wife. A wife is a virgin. A wife is a virgin. One who is not a virgin is no longer a wife. So, I want us to relate back to Matthew 25. But I'm not going there yet. So, 10. It took 10 camels. And departed, for all the goods of his masters were in his hands, and he arose and went to Mesopotamia, unto the city of Nahor. And he made the camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening. What time? The time of the... Mark that word as well. 10 camels at the time of the evening. Even the time that women go out to draw water. And we know the rest of the story. Rebecca was the fish that was caught that day. But Rebecca did not come alone. Because in verse 51, behold, Rebekah is before thee, take her and go, and let her be thy master's son's wife, as the Lord has spoken. And it came to pass that when Abraham's servant heard their words, he worshipped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. And the servant brought jewels of silver, jewels of gold, raiment, and everything. To Rebekah, he gave also to her brother and to her mother precious things. And verse 58 and 59, and they called Rebekah and said unto her, wilt thou go with this man? And he said, I will go. 59, and they sent away Rebekah their sister and her nurse and Abraham's servant and his men. And they blessed Rebekah and said unto her, Thou art our sister, be the mother of thousands and of millions, and let thy seed possess the gate of those who ate thee. And Rebekah arose and our nurse.
Huh? Is that what the Bible said there?
No.
It said, and our damsels. Correct? Because I want us to not run.
In the previous verse, it says in 59, it says, they sent Rebekah, their sister, and a nurse, right? But here it says, and our damsels, with an S. Damsels are not married people. They are also virgins. So, Rebekah left with 9 other virgins. Permit me to say. There were 10 camels. Those camels will not go back empty. So there was Rebekah. There were also 9 other virgins. Going back. How do you know which one is a bride? How would you know which one is a bride? Because we are all here. Our faces are shining. We believe in Jesus. Right? We've been baptized into the body of Christ. Right? We're making right sacrifices to be here at this point in time. But he's coming for one. For his virgin. For his what? For his virgin. Now, Matthew 25, which is where we'll stop. Because how then would we be a true virgin then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto how many virgins? Huh? 10. Same 10 virgins, right? Right? Okay. So when we say 5 were foolish and 5 were wise, we often look at it in terms of numbers. Right? 10 is a number of the gift. Right? It's a number of the bride, the damsels. 5 is a number of grace. Everyone has equal grace. Everyone has equal grace. The grace that the Lord has given to you, Brother Henry, for salvation, it's not different from the grace that he has given to Adam, young Adam. It's no different. Right? So, 10 virgins, and they took their lambs. So, the 10 virgins each have a lamb. Rather, the 10 virgins each were a lamb. Each of them was a lamp. And as every lamp, you would have a glass to surround the fire, right? You're not plugged into electricity. You have a base for a oil. Correct? Correct? And you have to ensure the oil you use is thinned out, could burn always, as we read earlier. They have to beat the oil to ensure that it burns always. And they went out to meet the bridegroom. What time? Evening. At the time when the ladies come to fetch water. Because the truth is this. If you love to watch Oriental movies in those days, it is at the place of water that actually the girls find the guys they want to marry. Because that's the only time they meet and talk to themselves. Right? When the young lady says, Mommy, can I go fetch? No, there's still water. No, Mommy, there's no water there. I need to go fetch water. Sometimes she would intentionally pour the water. I say, Mom, the water is finished. I want to go fetch water for you. Are you seeing a man? No, mom, I'm not seeing a man. So, they all went out, and five of them were wise, and five were foolish. So, I'm not going to interpret contemporarily, as we all understand it. So, that's why I said, follow me, please. And they that were foolish took their lamps. So, they that were foolish as a lamp, they were going. But they had no oil with them. He didn't say they have no extra oil. There's no word extra there. They had a lamp. Remember, the world is darkness. We've established that. How would you go out with a lamp without having a oil in that lamp? So it means the amount of oil necessary for them was not in the lamp. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamp. Where is that vessel? That base. It always fits. It fitted with the lamp. So they took oil in the vessels of their lamp. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, there came a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Come ye out." Not go ye out. Come. The word is come, not go. The person who calls is not in the room. The person who always calls is always outside. Right? The caller is always outside. Come to meet him. In Revelation, he said, come, see. Right? Come, see. Not go, see. Because the voice of you who speak it is still the same voice of the bridegroom, through the friend of the bridegroom. I am preaching here today. It's Brother Adebayo that is speaking to you. But the sure thing is that it's the Lord Jesus Christ speaking to you through me. Right? Then all those virgins arose, and they trimmed their lamps. Why was there a need to trim the lamp? To make it ready. The trimming of the lamp is a very delicate process. You take a scissors, and you have to cut it precisely in a way that you will shape the flame in a tongue form. Right? It has to be a tongue. A tongue form. If you don't trim your lamp, your flame will just go everywhere. Right? There's a reason why when on the day of Pentecost, it says, there appeared a tongue of fire upon them. It means their lamp was properly trimmed. Properly trimmed. And why is it necessary for us to trim our lamps? It's your daily walk with God. I think it is practical, right? Your daily walk with God. Your ability to adjust yourself. To scold yourself when you need to scold yourself. Right? To arrange yourself. To rejoice in the Lord without restriction. At the same time, to ensure that you love one another. To ensure that you show love that is without bound. To ensure the free flow of oil. They trimmed their lamp, and the foolish said unto the wise, give us your oil, for our lamps are gone out. Our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, let there be not enough for us, for us and you rather. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourself. And while they went out to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were wise went in with him to the marriage. Did anyone catch something there? They that were what? Thank you. Not they that were wise. So, at this point, it was no longer about who is wise or who is foolish. So, it's no longer about, you might have the oil in you, like I said. You're burning. Because some of us usually feel, okay, let me talk about myself. Before the Lord allowed me to see this, I usually feel as long as I am fervent for the Lord, as long as I'm doing the Lord a service, I am fine. But I am not fine. The question is, am I ready? Am I really shining as I ought to shine? When the scripture says the bride had made herself ready, it means the bride had beautified herself, right? If you show me a bride, two young ladies, one is all well-dressed, shining and beautiful, and the other is raggedly dressed, and you ask me, who is the bride? Sorry, I will choose the one that is well-dressed. Right? Because that is what tells a bride. A bride must look her best on that day. While they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Okay, let's go back to Genesis then. 24, verse 62. Now let's read from verse 61. And Rebekah arose and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels. Okay, what camels? The 10 camels, right? Right? 10 camels. And followed the man. And the servant took Rebekah and went his way. And Isaac came from the way of the well Laharoi, for he dwelt in the south country. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide. Right? And he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels. No. He didn't say he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the horses are coming. The most important thing was the 10 camels. They were the 10 camels. The camels were coming. And Rebecca lifted up her eyes, looking unto Jesus, the horseman, the finisher of our faith. And Rebecca lifted up her eyes. Oh, and the damsels lifted up their eyes. No, they couldn't see. They were not in expectation. They were not expecting a man. They all had their lamps with them, because it's evening. Every single one of them would have a lamp with them. But only one was in expectation. That is why, even though the distance was long, our heart had been beating. Boom, boom, boom. When am I going to meet this man? I've been told a lot about this man. This man has a lot of, I have collected a lot from this man. The jewelries, look at it all over me. The gift that the Lord has given unto you, they are your jewelries. They are for your beautification. The gift of prophecy, vision, word of knowledge. They're all your jewelries. That the things that the Lord has given you to edify the church. Boom, boom, boom. And then the man who was Isaac was not coming from a party. No. Our Lord Jesus Christ is not ever coming from a party. He had consistently also waited for us. He was coming from Laharoi. And then he lifted up his eyes. And then Rebecca also lifted up her eyes. Oh, I thought she was on a camel. Yes, she was. She lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. She saw Isaac, and she said, oh yeah, I'm going to feel myself. No. She lighted up her camel. That is the place of humility. You know, the words where you say, like, come up your high horses, right? I think there is a word like that. It's a come up your high horses. She came off her high horses. Because some of us, myself inclusive, maybe sometimes we'll feel like, oh, I'm too big for this. Right? I'm too big for that. We often forget that the one who is big is the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the only big one. He is the only big one. Every one of us, we are small. We are small. Then she lighted off her camel, for she has said unto the servant, what man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? And the servant said, it is my master. Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. Let me tell you what that veil is. Are you a lamp? Yes. Right? We've been talking about glass this morning, right? Right? That is the veil. You know the function of the glass? I've not touched on that. If you don't have the glass on, there will be wind that will blow your flame here and there. Right? It will not stand well. That's where you are tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. You are tossed to and fro by every problem that you have. The veil is meant to make you understand that you are committed to a man. And that man is the Lord Jesus. And no other man can remove your focus. He is the only one that has the ability of unrolling the veil. Removing the veil. He is the only one that has that ability. She covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. And 67. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent. Oh, I thought we also read that in Matthew, right? What happened in Matthew? Remember what happened in Matthew? In verse 10. It says, and while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Right? Now let's see where the door was shut here. And Isaac brought her into his mother's tents, and took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her, and Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. As long as Isaac and Rebekah entered the tents, the damsel could not go in with her. The damsel were useful outside of the tent, not in the tent. So, you and I were a lamp, we're lamp. What oil have we allowed to flow through us? Let it be olive oil. Well beaten. The Holy Ghost. No other thing. The Holy Ghost. But after the Holy Ghost has flown through us, after it has its way in us, how well have we kept the glass? Is our focus on Jesus? Do we take care of that glass all the time? And do we allow ourselves to really shine? To really shine. And that is for those who already have the Holy Ghost. Then, for those who do not, you have oil, maybe, but you have not allowed the flame to be stricken. You're not even burning. Not the talk of shining. You're just coming and going. So the question again is, who I am? I am a lamp. Have you allowed Jesus to give the life to you? Because he said, in him was life. And the life was the light of man. You can never be too sure. It's good to search. Just bow down your head.
Speak to the Lord with all of your heart. Search within yourself.
there be any obstruction for the free flow of oil. Just silently talk to the Lord. If there be any obstruction for the free flow of oil, ask the Lord to help. He is willing to help. That I am sure of. He is able, abundantly able to deliver and to save. And if you want to be prayed for, you can just lift up your hand. While everyone is bowed, while every head is bowed, you want to be prayed for, you can lift up your hand. He's able, abundantly able to deliver and to save. It's a moment of thought. It's a moment of deep thinking. Your alarm, are you burning efficiently? Are you allowing the oil free flow in you? Are you allowing God to walk through you as He wants to walk? Just as He wants to walk. Or are you being restrictive? He is able, abundantly able to deliver. Just pray to the Lord. Ask the Lord. Just pray. Talk to Him. Says those who were ready, they went in. Do you think you are ready? Do you think you are ready? Who I am, Lord. A part of my Savior, a part of His love. It's truly a revelation who I am. Would you light us today, O Lord? Would you send your fire, Lord? Send your fire, Lord. Revive every spirit. Many are cold within. Many fired, dwindled. Many are not even sure whether to burn or not burn. For in this dark world, you have asked us to be a light. You said we should allow our light to shine so bright that men would give glory to our Father who is in heaven. Allow our light to shine, O Father. Grant us more of your grace. I pray for those whose hands are lifted, O Lord, that you will meet them. That you will clean them from within and without. Whatever coldness is obstructing the shining, the flow of the oil, that you remove all those impediments, O Lord. And that this day will mark a turnaround for them. And go, no gate of hell will be able to prevail over them. You gave the instruction, let your light so shine that men will give glory to our Father who is in heaven. Through these ones, O Lord, through these ones, Father, let men give glory to God. Through these ones, O Lord, let men give glory to God. You that breaks every fetter, you, O Lord, that breaks every chain, you, O Lord, that renews and refresh men, may you refresh their pot. May the pot of oil never run dry. I pray for your children, O Lord, who have lifted up their hands to you, that their pot will not run dry, because they are not ashamed of you, O Lord. May you not be ashamed of them. Those who are standing and those who have their hands raised up, Lord, I pray, Father, that you will not be ashamed of them, O Lord, that you refresh them from within, that your name alone will be glorified. Blessed be your name, Father. Thank you, Jesus. May you strike in him, in all of us, a flame. This is our desire. May you strike a flame in us. If there be any dead in the spirit, may you rise up right now. Anyone struggling in the spirit, struggling with how to serve God, may there be a spirit of resurrection right now upon them. May they be awakened in their body. May they be awakened in their spirit. May their flesh be under subjection, O Lord. That your name alone will be glorified. You have promised to move among your church. To move among your people. May your children never be found wanting, O Lord. Thank you, Father. May your words to them today be remembered forevermore. In Jesus Christ's name, we have prayed. Amen, amen and amen.